Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We're glad that you could be a part of us. I'm glad to have the visitors with us. It's always a pleasure to have visitors, but especially a pleasure to me personally to have my son and his wife and one of their sons with us today. We're glad to have them here today. It's always good when we can come together and sing, isn't it? And as John has led us in these beautiful songs, and as we can partake of the Lord's Supper and remember the Lord's death until He comes again, it's always a gratifying thing for those of us who remember the Lord's church to be able to do that, isn't it? It always is. And then to pray together and open God's divine book and reap the rich treasures that are found therein. We're so happy to be able to do that. Tommy is one of the ones running our booth over here, as you most of you know. But he's also going to help us a lot with the website. In fact, what we're going to do is he's taking the sermon this morning. We're going to start putting our sermons on there. So I'm going to have to be careful what I say on it. We're going to put our sermons on there. Later on, if we'll be able to stream them if we want to, and we may do that someday. We'll be able to video them too someday if we decide to do that. But right now, we'll be putting the sermons on there, and you can listen to them if you want to, or tell your friends about that. There are cards at the back. We have some new cards printed that you can take with you, and it's got the website on there. You can hand those out, and those people can look on there, and they can see what we do here. We'll also have some lessons in living, some short lessons for daily life and all that kind of thing. So we're going to really try to use our website to bring glory to God. So you're able to do that. Try it out. Tommy's going to try to put one on today's. He's going to try to put that on. We're practicing right now. If he's able to do that, you'll be able to. If you miss something today, you'll be able to hear it on that, won't you? Well, of course, today is the Lord's Day. Every Sunday we think about what we're doing, it's the Lord's Day. It belongs to the Lord, of course, but also in our society, we do things during society. And this is a day, not only is this a sacred day that belongs to the Lord, but we also think about mothers on this day. A special day for them. We should think about them every day, but we think about them especially today. And the Lord thought about them, because we read in the Old Testament, we read about different mothers in the Old Testament, and the things that they did. We read about mothers in the New Testament and the things that they did. The story is told about a young man that joined the army. And his drill sergeant was very frustrated because he was trying all the time to make him a good recruit. But the trainee always lagged on the marches. He was never in step, never was in step. And he would use any excuse to go on sick call. That's what he would do. And he grumbled always about the food. He didn't like army food. And maybe a lot of people don't like that. And he never made up his cot properly or his bed properly. He was always in trouble. He was always in trouble with his drill sergeant. One day, though, there was a noticeable change that was taking place in this young man. All of a sudden, his attitude changed. And when the drill sergeant was asked about that, about the change in his attitude, he explained, "I use threats, I use punishment. None of that will work. So I had to resort to the ultimate weapon. I called his mother." That's what he said. And she talked to him. Well, that's a kind of a funny story, I guess. But the fact is that mothers have a profound influence on their children. They do. There's a very close tie between a mother and her child because she carried the child for a length of time. There's just a very close tie there. And she can have such an influence on her child to do the things that are right. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, we read about that. I said that the Lord included mothers and grandmothers in what he had to say. But in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy, who is a son, who had a grandmother and a mother, of course. And he says, "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also." So what he says to Timothy is, I know that you have faith. You have a faith and a genuine faith because it first resided in your grandmother and mother. What he's talking about is they taught you. And he says that even more plainly in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 when he says, "From a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, So they've been teaching you that since you were a child. The mother who takes the little child as soon as they're able to understand some things and talks to them about God and talks to them about Jesus Christ and reads stories to them out of the Bible, so they'll have an understanding of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. In fact, what Paul told Timothy is, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You are wise, Timothy, in this salvation which is, or faith which is through in Jesus Christ, and this salvation which is through faith. You're wise about that because your grandmother and your mother taught you these things. And so you have a faith that came from them, he says. In Acts 16, verse 2, we read about Timothy as he traveled from place to place, that he was well spoken of by brethren where he went, especially the brethren in Lystra and Iconium. So he was well spoken of. He had been taught the right thing to do. He had the right respect for those who were his elders. He had the right respect for other individuals. He was the kind of person that caused people to give praise to him and to speak well of him. In 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 17, Paul speaks of the fact that I'm sending Timothy to you, Corinthians. I'm sending him to you because he is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So he's going to remind you of the things that I teach. So the apostle Paul talks about Timothy and praises Timothy because Timothy had been taught to respect those who were his elders, and he respected Paul. And Paul speaks of him as if he's a son of his. Not a literal son, but he took him under his wing as if he was a son. And he was able to do that because Timothy had been taught by his grandmother and had been taught by his mother. And these are great people that the Bible's talking about. And it's interesting to me that you don't read about them any other place except as Paul talks about them to Timothy. And he mentions them by name. God made sure that they were mentioned by name because they were the kind of mothers that they were supposed to be. The grandmother, obviously, taught the mother. Because he said, first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother. So he says the grandmother had it first, she taught the mother, and then the mother taught the son. She taught Timothy. But let's look for a moment at what is said here. This genuine, or as one translation says, the sincere faith that was in you. The word literally means in the Greek, undisguised. In other words, everything is open and above board. It's transparent. That's a favorite word people like to use today. Buzzword. But it was transparent to them. It is without hypocrisy. They're not saying one thing and doing another. This is the kind of faith that's genuine faith. There could be a false faith. There could be a faith that's not sincere. A person could claim that he loves the Lord and not love the Lord. But the fact is that Timothy had a genuine faith that was implanted in him by his grandmother and his mother. Reminds me a little bit of what James said when James writes his book to Christians. He said, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So what happened to Timothy was, he received the implanted word. It was a genuine, sincere faith, without pretense, without deceit. The interesting thing about this Greek word that is translated either genuine or sincere is it actually means something without wax. And it's taken from the concept of a person who would build furniture back then. They would build furniture and they would have cracks in it. Sometimes the wood was old, sometimes it was cracked, and they would take that wood and they would fill the wood with wax. The wax that they had at that time. And it looked really good. They'd finish it and the wax was there and you wouldn't see the wax. And for a while it looked good, but when it got hot, the wax would melt. And so what they would do is they would keep it in a cool place until it sold. But it wasn't a genuine article. It had something foreign in it. It had wax in it. And so when you took it home and you kept it there for a while, you looked at it and all of a sudden there are cracks in it. And the reason there were cracks in it is not because it got older, but the fact that they had filled it with wax. That's what they had done. And it was shown for really what it was, an inferior piece of furniture. That's what it was. Well, sometimes people do the same thing today. They don't use wax like they did back then, but they fill it with things. And you buy it and you find out it's not quite as good as you thought it was going to be. We've probably all seen automobiles driving down the street, maybe, and some of the paint's gone. And we realize that probably was a used car, and it probably had some paint that wasn't very good. And so to sell the car, what the used car people will do a lot of times is they'll spray some paint, but they don't put anything else on it. They don't prepare the paint. They don't prepare the metal. They don't do anything. They don't prime it. They just spray it with something so it'll look good for a little while, and they sell the car. Then after you drive it about a year, all the paint starts flaking off. That's what it does, because they did an inferior job on that car. That's what they did. Well, that's the way this furniture was. So genuine or sincere faith means a faith that doesn't have any wax filling the cracks. That's what it means. And that's interesting to me. The sincere faith of Timothy's mother Eunice and the grandmother Lois made a lasting impression on Timothy's life. And that's why, as a gospel preacher, he preached the word and he was instant in season, out of season. That's why he would reprove and rebuke and exhort, just like his mother would do to him. He would reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. He realized his mother was long-suffering. Isn't it wonderful that mothers are long-suffering to us? When we're young, and we make those mistakes over and over, and Mom just takes us to heart and puts her arm around and said, "I told you not to do that." Here we are crying because we stubbed our toe or something. I told you not to play with that. But she doesn't just throw us out of the house and say, "I don't want to see you anymore," does she? But she continues to talk to us and continues to try to get us to do better. That's what mothers do, and that's exactly what Timothy's mother did, because she had been taught that same thing by her mother. One of the things that the Apostle Paul says to older women was that they're to teach the young women to be lovers of their husband, to work at home, to do the things they ought to do. In the book of Titus in chapter 2, that's what Paul said that older women ought to do. Well, that's exactly what the grandmother was doing. She was teaching this younger woman, who later on becomes the mother of Timothy, how she ought to be a worker at home. And she was a worker at home. She taught her child. She taught him the things they ought to know. In Philippians 2 and verse 20, again, Paul is talking about Timothy. It's interesting, folks, if you'll just look in your concordance and look up the word Timothy and see how many times it's used in the New Testament. But in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 20, and talking about Timothy, Paul said, "I have no one who's like-minded like Timothy." No one. Timothy was a special person to the Apostle Paul. And one of the reasons he was, he had been taught right. You mothers, when you teach your children go out and they imitate or emulate the things that you taught them. And they, in turn, will remember that and teach their children. Can't you just imagine how that grandmother, Lois, felt when she saw Timothy and realized the work that she had done and what a good boy Timothy was. And she realized that it all started with what she had taught. It's interesting to me that the husbands are not involved in this, or nothing said about them. So here is the grandmother that had the responsibility of teaching. Perhaps there was no grandfather at this time. Perhaps something had happened to him, he had died or whatever. But the grandmother has a child. She has a female child, and she teaches her daughter how she ought to comport herself, how she ought to live. And then the daughter, something we're not told about her husband. Obviously, she had one at one time, but we're not told. But she takes it upon herself, "I'm going to do what my grandmother did for me. I'm going to teach my son about faith. And I'm going to teach him what sincere faith is, what real faith is, what genuine faith is, so that he in turn can live by that faith." And that's why the Apostle Paul said, "I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." He's speaking to the Philippians of Philippians 2, but he's talking about Timothy. There's nobody that I have who is as like-minded as I am who will sincerely care for you. And you think about that. Where did Timothy learn to care for people? Well, he learned it from his mother. That's where he learned it. And she learned it from the grandmother. And I suppose the grandmother is probably still alive when Paul writes this, because he said, "You got your genuine faith from her and your mother." So Grams is still talking to the son, isn't she? And that's what grams do, or grandmothers, whatever you want to call them. That's what they do. They talk to their sons. And a lot of times children will call back. Even when they've married, they have somebody else. They'll call back and talk to mother, won't they, about things. My daughter does that all the time. I heard Marty talking on the phone yesterday. I said, who is it? I said, is it Sissy? That's what we call her. I said, is it Sissy? She said, it's Terry. And she was calling and she was venting. And mother said, you got to have some. She told me, she said, well, she has to have somebody to vent to. So I guess it's better to vent to mom than it was to her husband. But she was venting to mom. She was talking to her. Well, that's what mothers do a lot. And they listen patiently and they say, now, Terry, settle down. That's our daughter's name. Settle down. And then she gives her some advice about certain things. Well, my son does that too sometimes. He calls his mother and talks to her. That's what he does. And I'll tell you what, if my mother were alive, I'd be calling her. The sad thing to me is I don't have a mother to call. I don't have a grandmother to call. I wish I did. I wish my mother was still alive and I could call her, because she was a lot wiser than I was at the time she died. And so was my father. But the fact of the matter is, Timothy had his mother and he had his grandmother, and he was like-minded with Paul. Well, what does Paul mean when he said, I have no one who is the same like mind that I have? Well, I have the mind to sincerely care for you. What did Paul mean by that? Well, when he was writing the Corinthians, he said, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your soul. So what is he talking about? Timothy has the same like mind that I have. What's he willing to do? He's willing to spend himself, use himself up for the souls of others. And that's what he meant when he said, Timothy will care for you just like I would. It's wonderful to have people like that. Mothers care. Mothers, don't you care for your children even if they're not home anymore? I suspect mom cares for that when it goes to college back there. And I suspect she concerns herself about it sometime, wonders what she's doing. And maybe that daughter calls every once in a while mom or dad and asks for advice. Do you ever do that? Sure you do. That's what's great about mothers. And that's what was happening here. It's all right for us on this day to talk about mothers, because that's what we're thinking about. Excuse me. And the Bible talks about mothers. That's what they do. The sincere faith of Timothy's mother Eunice and grandmother, as I said a moment ago, made a great or lasting impression on Timothy's life. Look with me at Proverbs, the 6th chapter. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, this wise man, Solomon, is giving some adages or wise sayings or advice. That's what he's doing. And he's doing that basically to his son. He said, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Well, Solomon, why would you say that? Because she is wise, and she can tell him the things that he needs to know, and she can keep him from falling into the cracks of things that might get him in trouble. So listen to your mother's. And it's interesting to me, he says, your mother's teaching. She's a teacher. She'll teach you if you listen. She'll teach you the way you ought to go and the way you ought to live. And then he says, bind them upon your heart forever. What? The mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. So we listen to our mothers because she's saying something that's worthwhile. And if we bind them around our neck, and the idea there is we take them to heart. We take them to heart. And then later on, we'll be able to use them. I can remember lots of things that my mother said to me. She's not alive anymore. She's not able to speak to me anymore, but in one sense, she does. Because I have memories of some of the things that she said. And also of my grandmother. My grandmother. I remember some of the things, and some of the songs that she sang at that time. And the things she would say to her grandson. I remember those things. So you fasten those things around your neck, and when you walk, they will guide you. You remember those principles. And I realize fathers do the same thing. But here we're talking about mothers today, and they will watch over you, and when you awake, they will speak to you. Well, I remember how mother told me to do this. Can you sew your own buttons on, men? Can you do that? If a button falls off your shirt, can you sew it? Well, some of you are saying, yes, you can. How did you learn to do that? Somebody had to teach you to do that. You didn't just get up one morning and the needle appeared and it just started sewing the button on, did it? You had to learn that from somebody. Well, a lot of us learned it from our mothers. They took time to teach us. We who are preachers sometimes, we're out somewhere, we're holding a meeting, and our wife's not with us, somebody, and we start to put on our good shirt, and we get up, oh, I broke the buttons. What are we going to do? There's no mother there to fix it. There's no wife there to fix it. We've got to fix it. Well, we have to learn to do those things. So they take time to tell us. Some great men today who are great cooks are good cooks because mother took time to teach them. And I'll tell you what, the daughters become good cooks because mother took time to teach them. That's what mothers do, they teach. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. There's another beautiful passage of scripture that we read. You've got it in your Bible, and that's Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Talk about this noble woman that Solomon talks about, this noble woman or virtuous wife. He talks about her and says her price is far above rubies, or her worth is far above rubies. And he talks about the kind of person that she is. He talks about her as a wife with regard to her husband and what she does for her husband and how she works and all that kind of thing. But he says, strength and honor are her clothing, verse 25. And he's not just talking about a wife here. He's also talking about her as a mother. And he says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Well, isn't that what Paul's talking about when he says the grandmother, Lois and Eunice, that they both taught this grandson or this son, Timothy? Isn't he saying the same thing? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And that's why you are what you are, Timothy. That's what Paul's saying there in writing to Timothy. I know about the faith, the genuine faith is in you that first dwelt in them. In verse 27, he says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idols. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also. He praises her. This is the virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies, or her worth is far above rubies. She's worth more than anything else. This kind of a mother is worth more than rubies. What he's talking about there are the precious stones. She's worth more than any money you could put on it. She's worth more than any money you could pay for it because of the kind of person that she is. Her children rise up. They call her blessed because of the kind of mother she is. Her husband also, he praises her. Then he says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Well, there are other people that may do well, but you excel them because of the kind of wife and the kind of mother that you are. No wonder the children rise up and call her blessed, because they have this genuine faith that was put in them by their mother. And then he says, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We do praise our mothers, don't we? We do that. Someone wrote a poem one time about mothers, and they said, how many days have you cried for me, Mom? How many tears have you dried for me, Mom? How many days have you worried long, Mom? How many years have you filled with song, Mom? Nobody knows but you, Mom. How many times have I hurt your heart, Mom? How many times have we had to part, Mom? How many prayers have you said for me, Mom? How many miles have you walked for me, Mom? Nobody knows but you, Mom. I don't know who wrote that, but it's about right, isn't it? It's just about right. Someone else said, give me a generation of mothers who are Christians, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. Well, I don't know whether that would happen or not. But mothers have such a great influence. Not only do they have it upon their children, but they actually have it upon the world in which we live because of the way the children live. As I said before, eventually our mother won't be here. And young people, you need to realize that. That's why you give respect to them and listen to them while they're alive. Someday they won't be there, but because of what they have taught to their son or daughter, that son or daughter goes out and lives the kind of life that God wants them to live. That's what a mother does. And that's what Paul's talking about to Timothy. I'm persuaded that the genuine faith is in you first dwelt in your grandmother and mother. And now I'm persuaded that it's in you also because of what they did. That's the kind of mothers we need in society. Mothers that we can look at, praise them. Children to rise up and call them blessed. And that's what we ought to be able to do with every mother because of the way that those mothers live. And that's what Timothy was able to do. As he looked back on his life, no doubt he looked back on what his grandmother had taught, what his mother had taught. And that's what made him the man that he was. Because they taught him the ways of the Lord and the ways of real life and how to live, how to think, and how to act. That's what they did. And Timothy was a faithful child of God because of his grandmother and because of his mother. And I think it's a wonderful thing that the Lord chose to put that plaque right there in the Bible and put their name on it. Can you imagine if you could find the monument in the graveyard that has their name inscribed on it, if you could find it somewhere, and it would just simply say, grandmother who taught grandson the genuine faith of God, and mother who taught grandson the genuine faith, sincere faith of serving the Lord. I can't think of anything better to put on a monument than that. That they taught their child, and the child was an exemplary person with regard to that. And he exemplified that. Because of their example, he became an example unto others. Is it 355? 335? Yes. And one of the reasons he would do that is because grandmother and mother lived for Jesus. And that's what this song was talking about. Live for Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple ever be. And that's the kind of person Timothy was. I have no one who is like-minded who cares for you like I do, Paul said. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. I don't know this song existed when Lois was walking upon the earth or when Eunice was walking upon the earth. But if it was, this might have been one of the ones that Grandma sang to him. Might have been. Teaching him these things. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Give him all thou hast to give. On the cross, the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live, Timothy. And that's why you live for Jesus. How about us? Are we willing to live for Jesus? Are we willing to give our life to him? Are we willing to say, Jesus, I know that you're the Son of God. And I'm going to live as you would have me to live, and whatever I've been doing in the past, I'm going to quit doing it, and I'm going to give my life totally to thee as I repent and turn to thee. And I'm going to tell everybody that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to confess your name before men, and then I'm going to be baptized for the remission of my sins so that I can rise to walk in newness of life, and I'm going to be faithful till I die. I'll give you the crown of life. No doubt Timothy probably outlived his grandmother, maybe his mother. And no doubt as he, like we do today, we look back and think about what a great blessing it was to have a mother who was faithful to God. Mothers, be faithful so your children can look back on your life and say, that was the one of the greatest times in my existence was to be with Mom. And listen to what she had to say. Can I help you to serve the Lord, live for Jesus today, and do the things you ought to do? So that someday when you pass from this scene, people will say, you know, they lived for Jesus. They did. They served the Lord. They taught what was right. And we could inscribe that, or God could inscribe that on your tombstone. He was faithful, or she was faithful till they died. And that's why I'm giving them the crown of life. That's what Jesus said he'd do. And he'll do that. If I can help you.